This is a New Testament Bible commentary with your host, Gary Eugene Howell. Here we dive into a greater understanding of God's Word.
Matthew chapter 1. We're going to talk about why no Messiah could possibly come today. Why does it appear that there are contradictions between Matthew's account and Luke's account of Jesus' genealogy? Does God speak to you in your dreams? And how Jesus saves his people from their sins. If you've never read Matthew chapter 1 before, I encourage you to go and read it and then come back and listen to this commentary. Verse 1 states that Jesus Christ is the son of David and the son of Abraham. This, of course, fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah would be from the line of David. And this is also the reason why it is not possible for the Messiah to come today. Many of the Jewish people are still looking for a coming Messiah. However, because the Jewish people were scattered across the globe for more than 1,000 years up until the 20th century, and then nearly 40% of the world's Jewish population were wiped out in the Holocaust, because of those things, the Jewish people today have lost the ability to trace their ancestry back to the original 12 tribes of Israel. This means that no person claiming to be the Messiah today could fulfill the prophecy of being from the line of David, because no Jewish person today knows their ancestry that far back. Jesus Christ is the only person in human history who fulfills all the prophecies about a coming Messiah. Verses 2 through 16 identify the names of each person in Jesus' genealogy, from Abraham all the way to Joseph and Mary. I believe it would be a fascinating topical Bible study to specifically seek out where each of these people appear in the Bible and to read their stories, having at the forefront of your mind that this is Jesus' great-great-great-grandfather or great-grandmother. These thoughts really draw to mind the fact that Jesus was fully man, and yet simultaneously fully God. Verse 17 summarizes the genealogy, emphasizing that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and to David. When I read the genealogy of Jesus, I'm reminded that the accounts in Matthew and Luke differ. One might be inclined to conclude that there is some sort of error. However, we must recall what is written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in which it states, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." If we are to operate our lives in faith, we cannot go around nitpicking the Word of God, claiming that this or that is wrong. The moment we conclude that something in the Bible is an error, then any time we come across something that we don't like, we may be inclined to label it as an error. Some people have referred to the differences in these two accounts of Jesus' genealogy as being a contradiction. However, any time we see something in Scripture that appears to be a contradiction, we must conclude that the error is our own and not that of God's. We can also be rest assured that over the past few hundred years, scholars more brilliant than ourselves have already examined and addressed these concerns. Therefore, anytime you see what appears to be a contradiction in the Bible, all you need to do is a brief online search to read about how others have already addressed, researched, and resolved the issue. But even if you cannot find an explanation online, you can still maintain that the error is in your own lack of understanding. You can make note of it and then move on, knowing you can come back to it at any time in the future. Not having an immediate answer should not hinder one's faith. And remember, the Christian walk covers an entire lifetime. It's not like you have to know everything today. Verses 18 through 25 discuss the pregnancy of Mary and Joseph's reaction. In verse 20, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in his dream. Now, it should be noted that throughout the entire text of the Bible, God spoke to 14 different people through their dreams. It's a valid form of communication for God, and we would do well to recognize the possibility that God could speak to us through our own dreams. Today, it's estimated that 1 out of every 10 Muslims has had a dream about Jesus. Why? Well, I suspect that in locations where few missionaries travel, Jesus goes there himself. I knew a Muslim guy who told me that he had had a dream in which he was walking through a Middle Eastern city and came to a mosque. There were dozens of people outside, all of them on their knees with their faces to the ground, but none of them were facing east, as their religious tradition insists. Instead, they were all facing toward a man standing in the doorway of the mosque. He was dressed in a robe that was whiter than snow. When the man having the dream approached the man in the doorway and asked, "Who are you?" the man answered, "I am Jesus." The man dreaming woke up. He fully understood what the dream meant. He knew that Jesus was God. That very day he gave his life to Christ. Acts 2:17 says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." If you have an extremely vivid dream that is filled with memorable details, the first thing to do after you wake up is to write it down and then pray to the Lord, asking if perhaps the dream was from Him. And if so, ask the Lord, what did it mean? However, one should be cautious and recognize that our minds are constantly stirred up throughout the night with images from the previous day's events, as well as our worries and concerns, and even perhaps the movie that you watched the night before. So not every dream is from the Lord. Most probably are not. In verse 20, the angel is instructing Joseph that he is to give the child the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Sin is what separates us from God. So how do we become reunited with God unto salvation, allowing us to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It is through Jesus Christ. As we continue this commentary through the New Testament, we're going to see exactly how it is that Jesus saves us and how we are able to go to heaven. So I hope that you will subscribe and continue to listen to future episodes where we will discuss this Bible commentary chapter by chapter.
This podcast, A New Testament Bible Commentary by Gary Eugene Howell, is hosted by Gary Eugene Howell. A text version of this content is available on his website, GaryEugeneHowell.com. The video version of this content is available on YouTube via his channel titled Gary Eugene Howell. If you have questions about this commentary or questions about the Bible, Christianity in general, you can send your inquiry to Gary by using the contact form on his website. If you would like to have Gary on your podcast or to speak at your church or event, please contact him via the contact form on his website.